says, but unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. Brother Albert, you can turn that off. I think it's like a freezer in here now, right? Is it likened unto a freezer now? Yeah. All the ladies are like, but unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. Now, this is not a typo. This is like, you know, the King James translators, they didn't accidentally put a U instead of an O there for Son of Righteousness. Okay? And in case you didn't notice, Son of God is spelled S-O-N. And this is actually referring to the Son. Okay? So what is he talking about? Obviously, he's referring to Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ is often throughout the Bible compared to the actual Son. Oh, but you know, all these people that you guys worship Ra and all that stuff. Shut up. Amen. I don't worship Ra, we worship Jesus. Amen. I worship the God who created the Son. Yeah. Right. I worship the God who created everything. Yeah. Okay? And the Son that he created, because he is the Word who created that Son, Amen. Has chosen to use that creation to exemplify who he is, to basically illustrate who he is. And this is beautiful poetry here, folks. You know, and in fact, we're going to be singing this in a couple months. Hail the Son of Righteousness. This is where it comes from. Okay? It talks about the Son of Righteousness. You know, the Bible tells us, for a day and thy courts are better than 1,000. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. And he says, for the Lord God is a sun and a shield. He will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from him to walk uprightly. And he says, Son, S-U-N. Why? Because the sun radiates warmth. It gives vitamin D. It makes our lives better. It brings light to this world. The sun provides light. Right? The physical sun actually provides light for us. And there's so many illustrations you can pull from that. And there's a reason why God compares himself, Jesus compares himself to the actual sun. And in fact, go to Isaiah chapter 9, if you would. Isaiah chapter 9. You know, the sun radiates heat. It gives warmth. It provides vitamin D. You know, it shines upon you. It gives you light in obscurity. I mean, it's great to have the sun. It does so much, right? And in fact, in Genesis 1, verse 16, it says, God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made also the star. He made the stars also. Isaiah 9, verse 2 says, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. Amen. So the Bible often refers to the sun as being that great light in Genesis. And then he talks about, in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2, those who sit in darkness or walk in darkness have seen that great light. It's not talking about the literal sun. It's talking about the Son of God. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Revelation 1, verse 16 says, and he had in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. You know, the glory of the actual sun. I mean, you can't even stare at the sun. You could actually go blind. It almost represents like the glory of God. You know, the holiness of God. I mean, doesn't the Bible refer to Jesus Christ as being the light of the world? Amen. Right? And physically speaking, the sun is the light of this world. Amen. We don't live in this sci-fi world or whatever. There's some sort of, you know, made-up light or whatever. You know, there's an actual sun that's burning out there. Amen. You know. By the way, the Bible says that God is a consuming fire, and that's exactly what the sun is. Amen. It's a consuming fire. But it also proves a heliocentric model of our galaxy. Because everything revolves around the sun. Right? And then, oh no, everything does not revolve. You know, our galaxy is also spinning on. Okay. Look, not every illustration that the Bible gives is perfect, because the only one who's perfect is God himself. Okay? But here's the thing. You haven't been to any other galaxies. So why are you even worrying about that? You've never been to H562B4 or whatever. We live in this galaxy. And in this galaxy, all the planets revolve around the sun. Why? Because he is the preeminent one. Amen. And you know what? In our spiritual world, everything is all about Jesus. Everything revolves around Jesus. And you know what? The biggest Christian in this world pales in comparison to Jesus Christ. Just like the biggest planet in our galaxy, Jupiter, pales in comparison to our sun. I mean, Jupiter's pretty massive. It's huge. I think, how many Earths can fit in Jupiter? 1,000? Who said 1,000? Oh, okay. Maybe I believe it because Brother Eddie said it. Is it 1,000? All right. He's pretty confident about that. You better be right. This is going on YouTube. 1,000 Earths can go. I'm not even going to say that. I'm going to fact check that. No, I'm just kidding. A lot of Earths, okay, can fit into Jupiter. And yet Jupiter pales in comparison to the sun. Why? Because everything revolves around Jesus. The Bible tells us that he is the preeminent one. He's the most important one.